What do you get when you have one voiceover girl?
Oh, and me. That makes two voiceover girls.
Okay, when you have two voiceover girls, separated by one pond and two perspectives.
I know. You get the Voiceover Girls Across the Pond podcast.
That's right. Let's listen as Rami and Jessica share their journey into the voiceover industry. Hi, welcome to Voiceover Girls Across the Pond podcast. I'm Jessica Matheson.
Hi, I'm Rami Santosh.
Today, we're going to be interviewing a voiceover artist who is from Kenya. When we were interviewing her, she was actually in Dallas, Texas, wasn't she? Visiting family?
Yeah. She was, absolutely.
Yeah. So we're going to be speaking today with Cynthia Kimola. Gosh, it was an amazing interview. I mean, she had so many great things to say. I'm really excited to share it with everybody. Tell us a little bit about your VO journey.
Okay. My name is Cynthia Kimola. I'm an African voice actor. I'm actually from Kenya in East Africa. And my voiceover journey, I can say, like, when I first knew about this beautiful world of voiceovers, started when I was a child. And I would listen to the commercials and the on TV as well. And I would also kind of like recreate my different takes or alternatives for them. And the adults around me would be quite impressed. They were like, oh, okay, that sounds really good. So also just growing up around radio, that's what I gravitated towards in university. I studied communications and I worked at the radio station there, the campus radio. And it's, you become like a jack of all trades. So I was a news anchor and also like a radio show host as well. And also just to get people to listen to your show, I started doing the promos for my own show. Like, listen to this hip hop show Monday to Friday from 4 p.m. to 7 p.m. So I would do all of that. And then the fellow people I used to work with, my colleagues, would also be like, okay, can you do some promos for us as well? And because that was also getting going, the societies that were around and they had announcements to make, they would also kind of like give me to do. It was all pro bono back then. Like, nobody was paying me to do any voice work there. And then when I worked at a national radio station, I asked one of my colleagues in the industry, like, hey, how do you get this paid work? Because at the particular radio station I was at, we weren't allowed as news anchors to voice promos because there was a conflict of interest. So he introduced me to an agent. I actually back then knew that I need to come up with a demo. So I kind of like read something and sent it to him and introduced myself. Hey, I'm Cynthia. I do English and Swahili voiceovers. I'm interested if you have any clients. And kind of like that's how, whenever he'd get jobs, I would be called to audition and book them. And slowly by slowly, that's how I started doing that back in 2012. So I can say till now, it's like almost 10 years in the in the industry. Yeah. But the pandemic, because of the pandemic in 2020, I kind of got serious about it. I recovered from COVID and I was like, I want to do things that I love. What do I love doing? And then I remembered like voiceovers. And I had gotten a podcast mic back then. That's how I started, like with a USB podcast mic, because I was like, I'm not going to let it hold me back. I'll ensure that I'm in a well-insulated room, ensure that I give good work. And that's how I started. And then later on upgraded to the XLR mics and ETC. Mm. Yeah.
Wow. Nice. So yeah, it starts off as a kind of informal thing and then it becomes a professional. And did you take any specific training in voiceover work?
Because I was in university for communications and we were trained in radio and TV, I kind of like knew the top level of what you should do, like voice modulation, how to interpret a script. So most of these were just transferable skills that I got from school. And also back then, I think I was also watching some videos. And also, as I said, when I was younger, I would be able to interpret a script just from listening to how someone would speak it and kind of also come with a different take. So when I went to a booth and I'd be like, okay, give us a take, I would give one take and then a different take and then they will see how to go about it. But now as I've grown in the industry, I've been able to invest in myself, take some courses. For example, Romy, we met on Gravy for the Brain trainings. So that's, I've been able to take some structured courses and others just listening to podcasts, YouTube channels, also just ebooks and things like that. Just being in the voiceover community, you're able to pick up tips and tricks and the best way to do it. So that's just how I have been learning, communal learning.
Yeah, of course. Absolutely. And just a little bit about how you find work, where you're based. You know, what are the different ways of getting work in Kenya?
Yes, yes. So I'm in Kenya, we're in the African continent, and most of the opportunities are local, regional, and also on the global level. So let me break it down locally first. So locally, I work with agents when I started out, because they were the liaison back then. So that's how I'd find work. And then because I was also like a news anchor, some clients would hear me reading the news bulletin, and then they'd be like, I want her to come in and record this. I really appreciated that because I wasn't doing the legwork for it. And then the other aspect for the local jobs would be me pitching myself to clients, like doing cold emails or cold calls, or wherever I go, I boldly say, hey, I'm a voiceover actor. They're like, oh, really?
Yes.
They're like, okay, So through that, I'm able to advocate for myself. And even if they're not able to give me jobs and they're somewhere where someone is looking for a voice actor, they'll be like, oh, there's this lady called Cynthia. I met her a few months ago. Let me give you her contacts and she can do that. And then on the regional or bit of it, now in 2020 and everything else, I joined a couple of P2P sites, the P2P platforms. So I was in a couple of them, voices.com, voice123. So that's kind of like how I was able to now kind of get into the global jobs, because that was, they were the liaison that way. And then, and then slowly by slowly, the work I was getting there, I was also posting online, but like, hey, I work for this company. They contracted me to do a commercial for them, a documentary, an e-learning project. So slowly by slowly, I started also curating my social media presence. So it was also now marketing for me.
Fantastic.
And using a couple of hashtags like African voice actor or voice artist, Kenyan voice artist, you know, things like that. And now nowadays people use social platforms as search engines as well. So I'm also now being able to not only just rely on the pay-to-play sites, but also people finding me online and me also going and deliberately looking for work online, because that's like 70% of voiceover work, you know, like you're looking for work, not just being cooped up here.
Absolutely. which is a shame. It's like,
You think you're going to spend all of this time in the booth and just produce all of this stuff. And really it's like you spend a smidge of your day in the booth and the whole rest of the time trying to get work.
Find work.
You know, try to position yourself to be seen. And also it touches into the whole diversity angle, because you'd find some of the back then what I would see, it's slowly slowly tapering off, but you'd find maybe it's a documentary about maybe an indigenous people or maybe a tribe in Kenya or in Africa, but you hear it's a white voice and they're not pronouncing the names correctly, and you're like, but I'm here.
Yeah, get it right.
You can work with me and be able, it's authentic, you know, we're able to see it in that authentic voice. People relate, people know, people in Africa are quite exposed, so you're able to tell, like, okay, this person. And we also, Africa is huge, so we also have so many different accents, regional accents. You can tell this is an East African accent, this is a West African accent, this is a South African accent. So you're telling me a story about East Africa and you're using a West African accent, we'll just be like, okay, we listen, but you're just like, that's not ours, you know? So for me, that has just been kind of like on a quest to get clients to kind of work with me and or other voice artists in the region for them to get authentic voices for their projects, because it is storytelling. So storytelling also comes from the person who is narrating it, not just the people that are appearing on your video, not just the people who are working behind the scenes, but also the person who's delivering your message.
I think that's beautiful, you know, authenticity and so on. It's becoming very, you know, much more important now, and I think people recognize that a lot more. And that's really great, the authentic kind of voice, and I love the storytelling aspect that you've just mentioned. Yeah. I was actually going to just go back a little bit because you mentioned how you market yourself with the hashtags, you know, Kenyan voice and things.
Yeah.
So I wanted to kind of just explore that a little bit more and ask you, what do you feel are the key aspects of your identity as a voiceover artist? So you've obviously mentioned the fact that you're Kenyan is something that you would actually use to promote yourself. Anything else?
Yeah. At first, when I heard that question, I didn't really understand it because most of the times I try not to take on the identity of the things that I do because I am my own person and I get to be a voice actor and I get to be like a communications professional. Because if I lose my voice, am I not still Cynthia? You know, what happens there? But now, after the way you've put it, I think the identity I encompass as a voice actor, not only am I not just African and a female, but also when I break it down into the layer of where I come from, I am a Kenyan, I am an East African, and I am also a Kenyan. But also the identities are, I am adaptable. The thing is, I feel that I don't want just to be kind of like typecast for the conservation type of videos or the poverty type of videos, you know, like voicing only one thing because I'm African. Right. You get what I mean? Yeah. So there are things that I want to explore. I want to do video games. I want to do audiobooks. So for me, a part of the identity is if you're coming to Cynthia, you're coming to find someone who is fun to work with. She likes doing fun projects and she's also adaptable. Her voice, she can manage her voice to do different things. The other, I think for me, would be like the authenticity that you get. There are things that we know are pronounced like this. This is how the British pronounce it, the American pronounce it, but locally we know like if it's cerebral, we know how to do it. But there's also that authenticity of a regional type of accent or pronunciation of things. And sometimes also just being able to tell like the director, like, okay, I know that's how it's pronounced, but if it's going to Kenya, this is how we say it. So just being able to know that I can be able to kind of like inform or maybe educate the people who are casting or who I'm working with to know that, hey, we can be able to listen to her, where she's also coming from. I think also my identity is my work ethic. As I mentioned, I feel like I have to really work hard. And also I feel my other fellow African actors have to really work hard because usually it's not a sound that most people are looking for. Now, because of the diversity and inclusion topic that is there, people are now knowing like, okay, as casting agents, we really now need to be focused on getting the authentic type of voice. So in terms of work ethic, as a voice actor, I really know that I need to put more than my fellow actors to find work, to be visible online, and also to collaborate, because I am so grateful that I am able to mingle with voice actors from across the globe, introduce myself, and just let them know, hey, if you ever find a client who's looking for an African artist, like, I'm here. And they actually refer work back, which is good. So I kind of like have advocates all over the globe who are able to tell the client like, hey, I may not fit this profile, but I really know someone who's professional in this region who can be able to do it. So that, and also my identity is resilience. You get to hear a lot of no's in this industry.
Yes. Rejection.
Oh, you have to have a thick skin, that is for sure.
Thick skin. I think it's Bill Dewees who taught me that, just from watching his videos. He's like, you know what, audition, forget about it. Audition and forget about it. Don't go back and think, or maybe sometimes follow up, because the decisions take a while. Sometimes in the industry, if it's a big project, it has to go through levels. Mm-hmm. So you can just be there having auditioned something in January, and then in August they come back, oh, we've actually now decided to go with you, or we decided to go with someone else. So auditioning and forgetting is something that has helped me kind of like separate my ego from the work, because sometimes I would think, okay, is it something, did I not do my best work, is it something wrong with me, why did they go with Romy not with Cynthia? You know, why did they pick Jessica?
Exactly.
Right. That is something I've learned to
deal with.
to deal with.
In fact, we spoke about that, didn't we, Jessica, in one of the episodes?
Yeah.
Handling rejection.
I was just thinking about that, how I had a commercial that I had auditioned for, and I thought, oh, I nailed it. And then I heard the commercial when it was on during the Super Bowl. It was a male voice, and I could tell that it was like, it was somebody that was had a different background than me. You could just kind of hear that different background in that accent or the, you know, whatever it was. I can't think of the right words, but, you know, I just went, oh, that's what they were looking for. You know, I didn't go, oh man, I'm so mad. I was just like, oh, yeah. I get it. Okay.
Yeah.
And learning that it's quite subjective.
It's art. Yeah, it's not science.
Yeah. And it's your voice. So if you start that, you'll start digging deep into your esteem, and that is going to affect other work that comes in. You wouldn't even want to audition or things like that.
Oh, so, absolutely. Yeah.
Yep, that's so true. Oh, goodness. Well, I think you've sort of already touched on it, but just to make sure that we don't miss anything, do you like, you had mentioned some of the things where, you know, the voiceover industry is sort of moving into a direction of diversity and inclusion, but how do you feel overall right now? How do you feel that the industry is dealing with making sure that there is diversity and inclusion in voiceover?
Yeah, it's wonderful that there's talk about it right now. I think also we've come of age. People are now bold enough to say like, hey, this is not right, or this can be done better. So in the industry, it's quite a big talk, but I still feel more needs to be done. You'd find now in the West, there are a lot of like BIPOC movements, or like there's this people of the global majority, which is kind of like advocating for people from all backgrounds, if you don't identify as white, to kind of like be cast in projects that require that. But I still feel for us back home, or back in Africa, yes, we fit in that category, but we're also kind of like unique in our own category. For most of these P2P sites, they'll just mention African accent. So you're like, which African accent are you looking for? You know, as I mentioned, we have so many regional accents. So you find that casting agents now, yes, they're casting the net wide, but they also kind of like need to kind of be more inclusive still in that hiring process, because they kind of, I feel they need to get specific in the casting a bit so that you can bring everyone into the space. For example, a friend of mine, she was cast for a certain project that was talking about like an African accent. Then she got the script. It's talking so much about like East Africa, Kenya, Mombasa, and she's from West Africa. So she kind of like was like, okay, I can record this, it's fine, but I don't, it's not sitting right with me. So you find some voice artists are also coming of age to know that I shouldn't just accept work just because work is there, but I can be able maybe to inform the casting agent as well that, hey, I've gotten this script, yes, I'm an African, but whatever it's talking about is talking about another region. If maybe you found difficulty finding someone, I have a couple of people that I can be able to recommend that you can work with. But if that's not an issue and you still want me to record, then that's fine. So you see, we find some fellow voice actors are kind of like also advocating for the collective, which is quite impressive. So just in terms of casting agents, I think still more needs to be done. Brands themselves need to proactively recruit talent, I feel, because they shouldn't just give or delegate the work to the agency alone. If they're looking for a specific accent or a specific person, social media is there. It's 2022. You can't tell me a quick search wouldn't kind of like bring you up to speed with a particular person that you're looking for, or just putting a call to action. People now are kind of integrated in so many ways to be able to assist them to find the correct voice. So I'm happy the conversation is ongoing, that it's there. People realize that more needs to be done. But I still feel that proactively, as brands and casting agents, they still have much more to do. And also ourselves as voice actors appearing on platforms like this podcast, just also kind of like bringing each other together. There's a VoiceOver Africa conference that is going to come up. This will be the second year that it's running. So that's one way as a collective now, we're able to bring each other to task to be like, hey, this is one voice we're trying to push. We want to be able to be seen as global artists here in Africa as well. And also just pushing the agenda to be like, okay, we're here to be represented, and we're also professional and be able to give you good work. Yeah.
That's cool stuff.
Absolutely.
I love it.
Yeah. And just a little bit more, what's your experience as a person, you know, as an African voiceover artist or West African or Kenyan, wherever you wish to place yourself, you know, in terms of what's your experience been? Have you had any negative experiences at all where you felt rejected because of your ethnicity or, you know, anything like that?
Not rejected, but there was a particular body of work I had cast for, and they had specifically asked like for a Kenyan accent. So that's why it still ties back to the resilient bit that I talked about. And I feel that I fit the bill. Maybe my voice or the sound wasn't the whatever they were looking for. But for the whole project, they just decided to work with voice artists from another different region totally. And I had been able to be like, hey, if you're not happy with me, maybe I do have a whole collective in Kenya that we work with in East Africa. I can be able to send that call audition to them, and maybe you can find a person that would fit the project. And they were like, no, we're running out of time, so we'll just rather just work with this person from this other region. So that was kind of like disheartening. I felt like, hey, we're trying to help you to kind of like cast the most authentic people that you can get, but it wasn't working out. But yeah, that's just how it
is. But was the casting director or agent African, him or herself?
No. They were global.
Okay.
I think they were from US, I guess. So that was just it, that they weren't willing to. I think deadlines were it, but
that would make you sad, you know, because you're like, golly, you know, I'm trying to make sure that your stuff is authentic, but you're more concerned about your timeline, your budget, your whatever else that.
Yeah. And I finally kind of like tracked down the final version, and I was like, wow, he actually just, totally disregarded it and went the other way. But hey, things just happen, you know? So that's just one way of doing it. And then conversely, there are others where maybe there are wins where I did not fit the profile at all, you know? At all. But I was confident, be like, you know what, let me just put in my audition. Let me just reach out to this casting agent and introduce myself and let them know the type of work I do, and they can listen to the type of work I do. And they were like, you know what, we usually don't usually go with the African accent or an African person to actually voice this. But since this company is actually global, they have offices in Africa, I think why not? So they pushed for me to be able to voice that particular ad. So that's
fantastic.
Also
so that's a really positive story.
Well, and it's crazy how, you know, you might get a set of specs and there's an expectation, but then you know, you hear time after time about how people will say, I want this particular voice or I want this particular sound, and then what ends up ultimately booking is something completely different than what they asked for, because they're just like, well, I think I want this, and then they just know what they want.
Don't know.
Hear it.
Yeah, very true. But also that seeps in into not boxing myself. I don't just not apply to projects that want an African accent. I just don't do that. That's an add-on. Like, hey, I already know what they're looking for, but I'm not boxing myself to be like, oh my God, I'm not auditioning for this, or I'm not reaching out to this agent because they don't usually work with on projects that need my accent. No, I don't do that. I send it, and then maybe my sound, my spec is something that they will change their minds last minute and think like, you know what, let's actually work with this. So this is actually sounds much better. You never know. So also not counting myself out of the game, throwing my hat in the ring and participating. And so just sowing seeds, and most of them, I wouldn't book the job, but later on in the industry, people talk and the agent maybe will talk to other agents and be like, hey, I'm looking for this. I'm like, oh, there's a lady who inboxed me. Let me send you her contacts.
Brilliant. No, I love that thinking. Sowing the seeds. I think that's what it's about quite often.
I love the idea that you're kind of like expressing your versatility too, because that's so, so important. I find that like myself, especially on auditions that you get on pay to plays, that I will say, you know, as far as descriptor words about my voice, I'll put some stuff in there and I'll say versatile. And I'll even go so far sometimes if I feel like the person, like you can kind of read into what they've said a little bit and realize whether they're just like, just do it, or if they're open to stuff. But I'll even say something along the lines of, if you'd like to hear this differently than what I've recorded, let me know and I can throw you another audition. You know, and it just opens it up. And I've had people kind of bite back before and say, you know, I liked your audition, but I'd like to hear it this way. Could you do it this way? And then I'll send something back. So it gives them an opportunity to say, oh, cool, you know, she'll adjust.
Yeah. Very important. Even for me now, it also with the takes, I offer like maybe two takes, and then one will be like maybe neutral. And then the other will now be like my own authentic self. This is how I say it. This is how we say it here in Kenya. Or this is how I would pronounce it. Or just offering a different take also just kind of helps. And then that shows now the versatility, even in toning and pacing. But I really like your idea. I'll also kind of like include such wording when I'm pitching.
I think it helps. It opens up a conversation, a potential conversation. Say, hey, you don't like it, let me know what you want.
Yes, any advice that you'd have for somebody who's new and starting out?
No, it's still fine. I think also I was just mixing up the ideas. But for someone who's starting out, and also this is also for me, because I'm also kind of like in a phase where I'm kind of like trying to rebrand myself as well. Because now I'm now noting that the conversation is going this way in terms of diversity, inclusion, authenticity, etc. So if for someone who's actually starting out right now, they've undergone the training, they've put themselves or positioned themselves in a way that they're trying to get work and they're actually booking jobs, the next step would be in terms of knowing their worth. For me, I always say a dollar is a dollar is a dollar. It doesn't matter if I'm being paid in Africa, if I'm being paid in the US, in the UK, like in terms of the value, I shouldn't be paid less just because I'm here. You know, the conversation shouldn't be like, yeah, you know, you're there, so let's just cut it. No, I need to be familiar with the global rates. What are the voiceover rates? What are the going rate? And there's so many resources, like the Gravy for the Brain has a rate pad or platform that you can check. There's the GVAA. I usually forget what it stands for. They have a rate card there that you can check. There's also Voice Realm that they help you to kind of like crunching the numbers, you know, you kind of like manually put it in. Also some pay-to-play sites like Voices also have like a rate card there. Don't be shortchanged. If you're able to know the industry rates, then you're also able to kind of like push back. And right now, since we're also venturing into the global space and you're working on huge projects, like for me, the issue or the problem had been like, okay, I'm cast in a huge project that is telling me about territories, regions. In America, there's national, regional radio, all this. Then I'm like, okay, I really don't know the nuances or how to navigate the space. So as I said, I have like a trusted number of people who are like in different countries. Like if it's something that's happening in the US or the UK, I can just reach out to them and be like, hey, could you help me analyze this contract? Am I being shortchanged? Is this how it should go, or what's going on? Also not just being afraid to have that money conversation with people, because I might be charging like $500 and that work is worth thousands, you know? So that's something that we should really be aware of. Know your worth and charge for it, because hey, you kind of like took time to brand yourself. Buying this equipment is also not
true.
You know, it's not cheap. Coming up with this, I can see both all of us kind of have this
blankets,
you know?
Yes.
Yeah. So all that also kind of needs to be, because I'm also, no matter where my territory is, I know what good audio sounds like, and I should be able to offer that to the client. So don't shortchange yourself, know your worth. And then when starting out, you will be typecast for certain roles. And it's fine. You can be able to do them. Those are kind of like they call diversity hires. Do those jobs. It's fine. Just know that, hey, I just like what I did, I took on most of those roles and then you use them to now kind of like market yourself to kind of like show like, hey, I've been able to work with these clients. I've been able to, these clients have trusted me and my work in my home studio to kind of like give them a good job. So know that the end game is not just to stay there. If you want to be in dubbing, if you want to be in video games, if you want to be in audiobooks, that's something that you can do. I'm so excited that I've been singing for the longest time that I want to do an audiobook. I want to do an audiobook. And last week that it finally came. So I'm still like, wow, this will be the longest form of of content of voice work that
it is,
you know.
That I work in audiobooks a lot.
I didn't know that I could be picked or selected for such roles, and it's not a diversity hire of any sort. So I'm just like, okay, those seeds that I had sown, that I can still, even though I've been typecast maybe for some roles and I know where I want to go, I can be able just to go and recreate some ads. Let's say if you want to do commercial ads, just go to YouTube. There you can be able to get the same ad, but kind of like also put your voice in there, you know, so that you can be able to show people like, hey, this is what I can do. If it's an audiobook you want to do, get your favorite book, come sit, read it, and maybe 1 to 2 minutes, or it's 5 minutes, and you're able to show the audiobook publishers like, hey, this is what I can do. Introduce yourself. Be able to get on such jobs. And also the other thing is collaborating with the people in the voiceover industry. Mm-hmm. Though sometimes it can be an echo chamber because you're still talking to your fellow voiceover people more than your client, but it's just knowing how to use these resources when you need help, let's say, just knowing what type of coaches to work with if you want to improve yourself. Because I believe I like getting like real life experiences, because someone might be highly acclaimed, but the person who maybe worked with them, they didn't feel like they were given their all. If you want to be able to get to more clients, you can also use this voiceover artist to be able to kind of like also advocate for yourself. And also as a new artist, showcase your work as well. As long as there's no NDA, showcase your work, you know, like on social media, be proud of what you've done. I read this quote that changed my life. Show your work. It gets you more work. So I'd be like, I'm just sitting here.
So true.
Nobody knows that I voiced something because maybe I haven't been able to maybe share it. So it also goes back to, are you proud of what you do? Is your esteem on a high? Is it being affected? Are you still fearing? Why are you not posting your work if you can? Because that's one way, if you use the search engine properly and you utilize SEO, putting the correct keywords, hashtags. Clients nowadays just use social media as well just to cast for people. There's a client who found me and then I always just boldly ask like, hey, how did you find me? And they're like, oh, we actually asked our intern to do like a search for voice artists, and you actually came up. We looked at your website, there are demos there. We were able to download your demos, and it was smooth sailing from there. And now we're here, we're working for you. We're working with you. We didn't even cast anyone else. So I was like, okay, kind of like make the journey easier for your client as well. So yeah, be your authentic self, know your worth, and don't just be box in one thing. Yes, you might be typecast in certain roles, but if there's something, there's an end goal that you want to reach or attain, you have the freedom to kind of like play around with those things and pitch yourself as such until you get it. And also be proud of your background, the way you talk, the way you pronounce words, where you come from, your authenticity. Just be you.
That's lovely.
Those are some really good words of
wisdom. That's lovely.
Absolutely.
And that's for all of us, I think, you know, regardless of where we're from or background, everyone. Because, you know, quite often it's easy to want to be like somebody else. Whoever. So, yeah, good message for everyone.
Wow. What an incredible interview. I so enjoyed listening to everything Cynthia had to say about her experiences in the voiceover industry and how they're dealing with diversity, particularly with African voices.
I think I was fascinated by the fact that there's so many different layers of our identity. There's the local Kenyan identity, then the West African, and then the African, and then the international. So it was just like, wow, so much to work with, so many different aspects of her identity. It's fascinating. Yes.
It was a really great interview. I really enjoyed it very much. And I hope our listeners enjoyed it too. So stay tuned. We'll have some more good stuff for you next time. Thank you for joining us for another episode of the Voiceover Girls Across the Pond podcast. If you like the podcast, which we hope you do, we would like you to make sure that you like, subscribe, and share the podcast with everyone so that everyone can enjoy it. And if you'd like to join our Facebook group, it's facebook.com/groups/voiceovergirlsacrossthepond. Until next time, bye.
Bye-bye. Thanks for joining us for the Voiceover Girls Across the Pond podcast. This is where we would normally shout out to our sponsors.
Rami, we don't have any sponsors yet.
I know, but if we did, this would be the shout out. Hint, hint. Don't forget to like and subscribe to this podcast.
And tell all your friends, your family, your neighbors, and everyone else.